Navigating through the energies of New Earth is not an easy process and can become extremely overwhelming at times. As we all ascend into higher frequencies, we're all being guided to embrace our own unique divine pathway, a pathway created in the vibration of love. Join Vibe Nation radio host, international psychic medium Carrie Turcotte, as she guides her listeners to rediscover themselves by accessing the keys of knowledge that already exist within. Each week's show is divinely orchestrated to intertwine with the universal energies, allowing the listeners to go deeper within and understand the message being shared even greater. When you live in the frequency of love, there is no competition, so Carrie will be joined regularly by fellow soul family members who will bring forth wisdom and knowledge she knows should be shared on a global level. At the end of each show, Carrie will tap into the energies of the listeners to see what message Spirit wants to share with all those listening in for the upcoming week. If you really want to get to know who you truly are, come and join us now on Vibe Nation Radio, here on the IOM Radio Network.
Well, and after all of that wordy stuff and interesting stuff and disastrous stuff, welcome to another edition of Indian Summer on Vibe Nation Radio. I'm Chris Anderson One Feather, and I'm taking over for the summer. And I have a great guest today, Thomas Hillgardner, who is very passionate about being of service to humanity and offering himself as a tool to spirit. Pardon me. How are you today, Tom?
I'm doing great, Chris. Thank you. It's great to be here with you.
Well, now, you've got a lot of different things going on. You've been into yoga for quite a while, and you've been into a variety of other modalities of healing, but you're currently working with a completely new paradigm. Do you want to give us kind of an overview of what it is that you're offering to the universe?
Yeah, absolutely, and thank you for the opportunity to be here today and speak on what has my heart so passionate and excited about, the healing that is occurring within myself and within the clients that I'm working with and people that are coming to the classes. It feels like a new beginning to the work that I've been really dedicated to for some time. As of late, I've been in training to be a craniosacral therapist from a biodynamic approach. And, just really at the core, and I'm sure we'll get into what that is and what that entails, but at the core of this work, really, it gets to how safe we are in our bodies, how safe we feel in this world. And this is something that's deeper than our own individual personalities. You know, we can still function every day and have high successful careers and get the kids off to school and, you know, take vacations and do all of these things and still have years and years or lifetimes and lifetimes of held contraction that ultimately lead on the physical realm to chronic illness, the list goes on and on in terms of what that means. Poor sleep, irritable bowel syndromes, chronic headaches, TMJ, which is a form of lockjaw. So that can happen, on multiple different levels, right? But fundamentally, it's our ability to be in this world, but not of this world, to be totally trusting and allow these deeper layers of our body, of our anatomical body, that when we wake up in the morning, we don't necessarily think, all right, at 3 o'clock I need to pause to make sure that I get enough heartbeats, or that my intestines digest my food, or that my neural activity is firing things from my brain to my toe. This is all at a level where there's an intelligence that's beneath our day-to-day thinking that's so profound and so magical that we don't even need to give any conscious thought. And there's also things going on in that realm that are rooted in contraction or rooted in trauma, which of course then is, you know, rooted in fear, that can be witnessed and explored. And there's a way in which you can witness or explore it in a container that gives it a sense of freedom, that gives it an ability to not be judged, not be pushed, not be desired to go away. I really want to be peaceful, and I really don't like this feeling, which only, of course, causes it to sense more contraction. It senses that you're pulling away from it, as opposed to finding within your body, within the room or the space around you, a sense of stillness, so that you can be an observer and a witness of these experiences, opposed to being completely identified with them. So that's a little bit about what's going on with me. I thought I'd just introduce it in that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, you had kind of a complex journey in arriving at this portal that you're currently stepping through into this new healing paradigm that you're taking on. So let's go all the way back. When you were much, much younger, what kind of a childhood did you have, and what kind of a catalyst was it for your spinning off on a spiritual quest as, you know, your dominant theme of what is my life all about?
Yeah, thank you for that question. It's a definitely different route than I am usually asked, and I appreciate that because it keeps me on my toes, keeps me present. I just actually spoke to a client yesterday. He was telling me how he's going through some challenging new eras. You know, he's experiencing some new things where he's not sure how to deal with them. And he referred to his childhood as just amazing. And I shared with him, I said, you know, I too, when I look at my childhood overall, I have a very positive experience of my upbringing in Kansas City, Kansas. I was quite blessed to be born into a very loving family, and I happened to be, you know, a kid that the other kids enjoyed being around. Teachers always seemed to favor me and always tended to have the cute girlfriends or, the cool guy friends. And, you know, so overall, right, I had a pretty positive childhood. But if I stopped there, then I'd be really selling myself quite short. Because when I really have done the work and I've paused and I've looked at my childhood, within that container, there's still, you know, many, many moments that I think we all experience of our first encounters of darkness, our first encounters of fear. We were born into this world as lights, and we had this innocence, right? I've got two children that my son's almost 4 and my daughter's almost 2, and I look at them and there's so much about them that they don't know some of the ways of the world. And I love that. And there's such an innocence about them and a freedom about them. And I think when I was around the third grade for about 2 years, Chris, I was the shortest kid in the class, including the girls, right? Which was like a really big thing. And by class, I mean the entire grade. And so for 2 straight years, I was every day called a name, Shorty or French Fry or Munchkin or whatever. And, thankfully it wasn't malicious. It never turned into being beaten up or anything to that degree. But it, nonetheless, there was a tone behind what was said that made me feel less than. It made me feel not a part of. And I remember coming home crying every day and asking my parents if there's anything we could do. And, and they, of course, God bless them. They were really out of loss. They didn't know what to do. They took me to the doctor, and the doctor, said, well, we can consider growth hormones. And I'm so grateful that angels or guides around me made decisions that said, no, we're not going to go that route. So, I look at my childhood and I think, wow, I was, really a very loving family around me. But, when you really do the work, when you really get in there, and by work, I mean you know, we look at our reactions to life. We look at our responses to our everyday life. And when we get defensive, when we get angry, when we get afraid, when we get nervous. And at some point, that was a learned behavior. And, you know, I've personally found that when I really get in touch with these contractions that live within my body that may show up today with my marriage or in my parenting or just, you know, on the road, wherever. When I really pause and I come into stillness with no judgment, I'm not looking to get rid of it. I'm not looking to name it. I'm just really looking to be with it and allow my ground beneath me, Mother Earth, to give me a space where I can settle in and be a witness to this experience so it no longer has that charge behind it. It's ready to pull the sword out or the shield to attack or protect, right? When those guards sort of start to come away and you're able to witness that fear or that that charge behind, it starts loosening its grip. And from my experience, it's brought me many, many, many childhood moments. And I'm sure one could even go even further than that, past childhood. But for me at this point in my journey, it's really lived in the childhood and early on of seeing these first moments where separation or duality or hate or anger was bestowed upon me. And not having the tools or the awareness at that early of an age, I took these as the way in which the world perceived me and therefore the way in which I perceived myself. And so I carried around these stuck areas in my body, whether it be the pelvis or the throat or the shoulder or the sphenoid bone, which is, you know, hopefully we'll get a chance to speak to it because it's very powerful behind the eyes in the middle of the skull. It can get locked in. And so then you've got these different parts of the anatomy that, you know, again, you can still have a six-figure income and have a very successful life and, you know, all of this and still have all these undercurrents happening that are rooted in contraction. And our ability to come into stillness and be with those, like Daniel in the lion's den, where, you know, he was thrown into the lion's den to get mauled up and eaten.
Tom, that we're no longer have to take happened. Right. Well, we're going to take a couple of seconds break here, and then we'll pick up with Tom Hilgardner.
All right.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the Om Times Experts program. With Om Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Aloha, my name is Jennifer O'Neill, and I'd like to invite you to come join me every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Hawaii Standard Time for my show, Spirit Chat. Spirit Chat focuses on simplifying the process of using the spiritual tools and gifts you were born with in a way that fits into your everyday life. I also teach different techniques that will help you learn how to navigate the spirit realm and empower you on your own spiritual journey. So join me this Wednesday as I guide you through the spirit world.
How to be a great dad in 15 seconds. Bike ride, go fish, walk in the park, phone call, milkshake, play catch, picnic, fly a kite, tell jokes, laugh, talk, read a story, tell a story, bumper car, swing set, bowling, pillow fight, cut loose, stay tight. Whew. Because the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
And we are back with Tom Hilgardner, and he had just given us some insight as to how the body can be viewed as a process for looking at past sorrow, pain, and fear, and other forms of dysfunction. So after you discovered this process, you obviously are going to be going back with it to heal not only other people's emotional past, but your own as well, correct?
Well, yes, I'd change one word in that. And I often my clients will call me and say, can you fix my sciatic nerve? Or can you heal this, you know, physical abnormality that's going on? And what my response is that, well, I'm not healing you or fixing you. I'm not doing anything to you. What I can say is that I will provide a space where stillness can arise, where the body can begin to soften and let go of held areas that have been holding on probably for some time. And then, of course, in certain situations and in certain relationships, it intensifies its holding. So I can provide a space in which the body can let go of some of that holding and, of course, facilitate things like, you know, take a nice deep breath, sense the weight of your head, you know, what are you noticing right now? And, you know, really the healing is about the willingness or the readiness of the client or the individual, you know, looking for someone to fix them or whether they're really ready, you know, at their stage of life to let go something that is kind of like the old snake skin, right? It's been hanging on for quite a while and hasn't been serving them. They haven't had the tools or the awareness yet to be able to step into a new paradigm.
Mm-hmm. Now, how do you manage this process? Is it a hands-on process, or is it something that you can do remotely? Or give us kind of an overview of how the actual experience unfolds for the individual who comes to you.
Yeah. So craniosacral therapy has its roots in an osteopathic process. So it's, you know, very science-based. And, you know, craniosacral therapy and craniosacral therapy from a biodynamic approach are in some ways similar, but in some ways go in almost a totally different direction. The biodynamic approach, which is the approach that I'm currently studying, is, you know, non-mechanical. It's not coming in looking to, okay, tell me your problems, and then I'm going to come to that hurt right knee that you hurt in 2012. It's really I'm coming to the body and I'm looking for what's alive, what's healthy. And how I do that is a very light touch. So I'll bring my hands, say, I usually start at the feet. It's a very safe way. One of the most important things is that a client feels safe, right? Because even things like air pollution can cause the body, even though the individual can go about their life no problem, it can cause the body a sense of contraction, right? You're not able to fully breathe the lungs in. So the importance of creating an environment where the client feels very safe, the communication is very clear. You know, I always will say, is it okay, you know, after a few moments of stillness and letting the client start to sense a restfulness, ask if it's okay if I come to their feet. And I'll usually just hold their ankles for anywhere from 7 to 12 minutes. And it's something about the non-doing. You know, I'm not coming to massage you or crack your back or, you know, do any acupressure. I'm really just simply there with a very, very, very light touch. And it's almost, you know, in some way, being someone that's meditated for years and you know, meditation has been the greatest tool for my personal awakening. It's kind of an assisted meditation. It really allows for an experience for an individual to be still enough to be with that which is causing them grief or contraction. So, and then, you know, after a few moments, I'll move to different parts of the body. I'll hold the head. Of course, there are more skilled holds where you can get in touch with certain areas like the sphenoid or like the jaw or the sacrum that connects the lumbar spine and comes up the spine to the occiput, the back of the head. Yeah, it's a real non-doing process, and really allowing the client to experience just a deepening in the present moment.
Right. So it does have kind of a Buddhist kind of a vibe to it when you approach it from that direction, in that, you know, there is a very Zen aspect to what's going on. Does the process itself have any connection to any actual spiritual discipline or a spiritual theme?
Not its roots. You know, its roots really come from the medical field. It was birthed from a man by the name of Andrew Sills, I believe is his name, and that was in the late 1800s. He was an osteopath and had a terrible migraine, and he was walking through the woods, and he apparently laid down and rested his head up against this broken tree, and the tree just happened to sort of come right underneath the occiput, right where cervical 1 and cervical 2 in your spine come up into the skull. And apparently he rested his head there and kind of moved his head a little bit and stood up and was totally relieved. And of course, his background in the osteopathic world took this and kind of ran with it. And so I'm sure today there are many practitioners that have Buddhist influences or different influences in the field, but its roots itself are actually more rooted in the medical field.
Very interesting. So it shows up as a kind of a non-therapy type of physical therapy.
Yeah, you know,
a non-touching, I guess you could say, is probably more accurate.
Well, there's definitely touch. My hands are always there, but it's there in a way where I'm with the body, but I'm also with the birds. Oftentimes here in my office, I'll be looking out the window and just looking at the trees. And yet what I'm really sensing is the fluids that run through the body. And these fluids, one of them primarily is called cerebral spinal fluid. This runs through the spine down to the sacrum, and comes up into three membrane sacs just underneath the cranium, underneath the skull, wraps around. And there are these fluids that run at the core of our being. And this goes back to when our first development in our mother's womb as an embryo. We grew up and we developed as little fluid bodies. And as our brains started to fully develop, the two sides, the two hemispheres, it started to come into a closure in its full development process. And as it was doing this, it pulled into, before it made its final seal, some of the amniotic fluid that was in the placenta. And that amniotic fluid then became cerebral spinal fluid. And so this cerebral spinal fluid, as well as other fluids, it runs through our being, or through our whole body. And it's not chi. It's not an invisible force if you were to be cut open. This stuff that I often tell clients that the consistency ranges from a maple syrup to a toothpaste, from my experience. That's nothing that's been ever told to me. That's just been from my personal experience of witnessing this fluid. And when there is a very held body, a body that does not feel safe in the world, whether they're aware of it or not, it's like a big tree that falls across a river. And so the tide is still flowing, but it hits the tree and it turns and goes the opposite direction. So there begins to be a fragmentation where, say, the right knee is not getting that fluid. It's like a 50-piece puzzle piece suddenly. And so this work allows at the deepest nature for those trees to start to get moved a bit, ultimately completely moved out of the way, and this fluid body expands. You can, as a practitioner, I can literally feel my hands being moved away from the body, still on the head or the foot or the back, and still feel the body, but the fluids are actually moving my hands away from the body. And then as the fluid leaves, say, the head and comes back down to the torso, the and that was one of the biggest breakthroughs that these osteopaths had in the early days, was that the cranium is made up of 24 different bones, and they're all sutured together. And when this fluid comes in, each of these bones separate from one another, creating space. And this is deep connective tissue. So, you know, it's really, this is a very primal part of our anatomy. This is not, you know, certainly, as the Chinese would say, qi, or this invisible aura, can certainly be in cohesion with this. But this is a very primal, very practical, real, for those that are science lovers, or, you know, they like to see it before they can believe it, this is that. And it's really profound. And what can happen when the body begins to feel a sense of safety, and what shows up, you know, what shows up around past memories, colors, feelings, thoughts, for a client while they're in the session.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're moving toward the bottom of the hour here, but before we go into a break again, what is generally the immediate response that you get from people after they've had a session?
Well, almost always, I would say that the tone of the first session or two, and this of course depends on each individual, how ready the individual is to let go of the things that they've been holding. But almost always, people feel lighter. They feel relaxed. They feel a connection to their body more. Sounds like we're headed to break.
Okay. Yeah, we'll be right back with more insights from Thomas Hill Gardner, so stick around.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Eros Evolution is where sexuality and spirituality meets. Join me, clinical sexologist Martha Tara Lee, on Eros Evolution on Thursdays, 4 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio.
When Dad needed help getting around, I became his driver. Soon enough, it was up to me to be his housekeeper and financial manager too. When he moved in, I became his cook and even his nurse. But no matter what roles I play, I know I'm still his daughter.
We understand the roles you play. So to help, we created aarp.org/caregiving, where you can connect with experts and other caregivers. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
And we are back with Tom Hill Gardner and his healing modality that he is evolving with. So tell me, Tom, as far as age range, do you think that that this particular avenue of healing is a good idea for, let's say, a 9-year-old? Is it restricted just to adults, or can you anticipate good outcomes with young children?
Yeah, the answer to that is, if you have a body, it's good for you. In fact, in Europe, in Western Europe, when people hear of, in a household way, when they hear of craniosacral therapy, they think, oh, that's the people that work with babies. Because oftentimes the labor experience of delivering a baby is both traumatic for the child as well as the mother. I mean, there's a lot that happens there, right? And so in Western Europe, craniosacral therapy is very known for, and around the world, but from my conversations with friends and fellow practitioners, it's a very popular thing for even babies. And I'm working with a four-year-old autistic boy. And of course, the sessions might look different, obviously. You may not be able to do as long of a session with a child, and it may need to take place sitting up in a chair as opposed to lying down on a table. But, you know, really, when I think about some of the healers of ancient times, you know, one of them, of course, being Jesus, and these stories of being able to heal the blind and raise the walking, you know, raise the crippled to walking, it really makes a lot of sense to me. And when I've discovered this work and what's happening with my clients, because, you know, really, the profoundity of safety that his being exuded into the world, and his ability to understand what I believe the fluid body, the nature of who we are. He was able to touch these individuals, and this is of course true for many healers over humanity's evolution, not just Jesus, but him being one that is a familiar individual for many of us. It really makes a lot of sense how, you know, he was able to tap into the lightness of the individual and allow for the fluid body to return. It makes a lot of sense. And I could go into that a little deeper if desired, but it's really could be good for all ages, Chris.
That's beautiful. So now, some parents are confronted with kids, like you said, who are autistic or who have other issues that they come into this world with. Do you have a sense that this is a carryover from past life experiences? And does the healing move in that direction? Is that part of what your process does? Is it addresses previous lifetimes as well as the current one?
Yeah, I mean, my personal belief on that, Chris, is I'm not out to impose my belief systems on anyone, you know, so there are things that I've come to that really work for me and make a lot of sense to me, but, you know, if I were to say that yes, I think that this, you know, that we carry things in from past lives, which I do, and that this could certainly be a portal for awakening some of those wounds from past lives, which I do. It's not a matter of that's what I'm seeking, or that's what I'm looking for, or that's what other people need to believe. You know, really, it's more about just being present to this moment and what comes up for the individual. And it's not a therapy that we need to, you know, pull out our diary and go through every single past life experience or every single past experience in this life. It's really about just being true and present to the moment and what shows up for you. And so, you know, if you're at a point in your journey where something is ready to reveal itself from your childhood or from a previous lifetime, and you're willing to let go on some level of it being, is that just my crazy mind? Is that, you know, oh, and sort of discredit it, right? Which often we do. We discredit the subtle hints of our spirit that bring things forward. But if we are bold and courageous enough to say, you know, I don't know where this came from. I don't know what it means, but I just had, you know, a black horse come to my mind, right? Then that's the thread. That's the thread that I can say, ah, okay, good. So let's be with that, yeah? And first, you know, giving them the space to sit with the confusion of, I don't know where it came from. I don't know what this means, right? So there's some part of them that might be a bit confused or a bit stuck in terms of trying to figure out the meaning or the reason behind what came up. And so we're first just going to allow that energy to just soften and come back to the body, come back to the weight of the right heel on the table, or sense your breath coming into your body, and really slowing down and giving them the opportunity to integrate, you know, all the living energy that's living in their body in this moment. And what oftentimes happens is that there's a veil or there's something that opens up for them to be able to get in touch with what's there for their learning without the charge behind it, without the charge of anger, or without the charge of confusion or anxiousness. And then it can really be explored.
Very nice. So it is a therapy that apparently that is very communication intensive. In other words, you're apparently talking to people during this whole process consistently, or you know, or intermittently, coming to you know dialogue and then retreating back into that place of peace. So, you know, if a person came to you looking for a session, what could they expect? What would you say, you know, would be the journey for them?
Mm-hmm. Well, I would first let them know that they're going to lie on a massage table with their clothes fully on. The only thing they'll take off is their shoes. I'm going to set my timer, and this is my practice. And so each practitioner is different. I'll set a meditation bowl timer for 40 minutes. And when that goes off, that is kind of the cue to start, you know, asking the body and asking the spirit, is there anything else I need? Is there anything else that is here for me before we bring the session to a close? And, you know, so I'll start out by inviting them to drop in and get a sense of their breathing. And almost immediately, you can sense whether people's legs, you know, the femur bone, which is in the thigh, connecting up into the pelvic bowl. If there's a lot of held contraction there, then the feet will almost remain parallel straight up to the ceiling. And if there's less contraction, less holding, the feet will sort of start to flop externally out towards the side. So there's a lot of visual cues that I can kind of get a sense of almost immediately. And then I ask, is it okay if I come to your feet? And so I come to the feet. And throughout the process, I'll let them know that, you know, if you fall asleep, that's okay. But this is really, you know, because I'm not fixing you and because I'm not healing you, this is about you being behind the driver's seat. This is about you being aware and sending your awareness throughout your body at different points. And sometimes you don't even need to send your awareness. Sometimes it will, oh my God, my back's tingling, or, you know, my right arm is throbbing, or, you know, there's sensations that just happen. A lot of times there's a lot of twitching that takes place. An arm will suddenly twitch on its own, and that's the central nervous system. It's been held in one way for so long, and now it's experiencing something different. And so it's sort of rippling that electric charge out. It creates sort of a head or a chest or a shoulder twitch. And this is a very positive thing. This is, I tell my clients to, as best they can, let that twitch happen. And then after it's complete, sense your breath and your body dropping back down into the table even more. And yeah, there are many moments where we will just drop into total silence, you know, and opening up for potential something to move that's not manipulated by a word or a conversation. But then every once in a while, I will just sort of say, so, you know, Jenny, how are you doing? If that was her name. And I give them an invitation to, instead of just responding immediately to, oh, I'm good, to take the question and turn it within and say, how am I doing? And ask the body, what's going on? How am I doing? And then one thing that I do that's been, from my experience so far, rather unique or different, is I am more interested with people that take my classes, my movement classes, or my craniosacral sessions. I'm not so much interested in people having, oh, my God, I loved your class, or, oh, my God, it was a great session. I'm more interested in the integration of it, finding you in the ordinary moments of your life. So I want to – my hope is that when people are doing the dishes or – you know, driving to work or sitting there checking emails, that all of a sudden there's a burst of awareness of the shoulder that was holding tight and then a letting go, or, you know, the neck or the pelvis, different areas of their body at the grocery store. So in my sessions, I will often bring up something very casual. Like this morning I had a session and, you know, we were very deep in the breath, deep in, you know, bringing her to a place of stillness, really kind of going into a very deep place. And then I just sort of said, yeah, I'm thinking of cutting my hair off pretty soon. And that was a true thing. I wasn't just making a joke. But the reason for doing that was, you know, not to jar her, which it didn't. I know how to thread it in a way that it doesn't jar the individual. But I'm interested in doing that because the body needs to experience this work, meaning this sense of awareness, not only when we're, you know, deep into our meditation practice or deep into our yoga practice or deep into some form of therapeutic process. It needs to experience it in everyday conversation. You know, when we're talking to our mom or our father, our siblings or our husband and wife, and it's not, you know, namaste. It's not these deep spiritual moments. It's, hey, have you paid the light bill yet? Or have you taken the trash out? So I'm really interested in having my clients experience an integration so that awakening can become not just a fragmented, isolated part of their spiritual life, but it becomes a part of their everyday life.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, if somebody wants to get in touch with you for more information, where can they go to track you down and to get more insight as to what it is that you are offering?
Yeah, so my website is movingintofreedom.com. So movingintofreedom.com. And I teach a movement class on Wednesday nights in Chicago and Friday nights in Evanston, downtown Evanston, which is here in the U.S. in Illinois, the state of Illinois. So, you know, I do obviously the craniosacral work is a touch-based thing, so that is geography, you know, relative geography. But I do a lot of work that is virtual with people all around the world. I do meditation series, meditation classes and things. So.
Well, thanks so much, Tom. And I know you've got to dash off, so hopefully people will track you down and find out more about the services you're offering.
Thank you so much, Chris. It's been great. Appreciate it. Thank you, everyone.
Bringing you the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio, your conscious lifestyle on steroids. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Om Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Om Times endeavor. Host your show with Om Times Radio Network.
Tune in to the Practical Intuitive Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more, all to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Hello, I'm John Lithgow. Manatees are unique, among the most amazing animals on Earth, but they're endangered. We pose the greatest threat to their survival. Many manatees are killed or injured by boats or other recreational activities. I'm a writer of children's books, including one about manatees, and I believe education is the key. You can be part of the solution. Please contact Save the Manatee Club right now. Call 1-800-432-JOIN. Thank you.
Well, that finishes things up with my guest, Tom Hilgardner, and I know that Tom is definitely very committed to his practice, and if you do have latent pain or physical disabilities or, you know, a multitude of different dysfunction in your physical body, you might want to give him a call and track him down, and perhaps you'll get some insight that can help you clear things that have been burdensome that you've been carrying around with you for a long time. What I'm going to do now is just a brief overview of what's going on as far as the current astrology, because today is quite a powerful day, astrologically speaking. We have a full moon in Aquarius at 15 degrees Aquarius, opposing the sun at 15 degrees Leo. And whenever we have a phenomenon occurring dead center in the middle of a sign, and the 15th degree of any sign is the middle section, it really has a tendency to embrace all of the energy or all of the messages or all of the vision of that particular sign. And this being right in the middle of Aquarius, this full moon occurring in this region would indicate that we are going to be moving into a cycle here that will be accelerated by this upcoming solar eclipse in about 2 weeks now, of seeking a new level of equilibrium. So we are going to be seeing a lot of the extremes that have been causing so much chaos all around the world start to calm down, and the pendulum that is swinging is going to start to return back to its center. So there's a lot of new energy that's going to start flowing in here, and it's not going to be something that is dependent on social activity and protests and things of that sort. It's tends to be much more of just a natural phenomenon, the process of gravity, gravity bringing the pendulum back down to the center. So we're going to be kicking off a cycle of definite humanitarian energy, where people are going to start having a little bit more compassion, a little bit more understanding, a little bit more insight as to the conditions, the situations that those around them are experiencing. So as the awakened community here on planet Earth continues to advance, this is a very optimistic cycle that we're stepping into. And if you have your own personal ritual, your own personal journey that you're involved in, as far as a spiritual discipline, I would really encourage people to do something that is out of the norm for what you normally do. Look at your vision of life on this planet from perhaps a little bit different angle, and give yourself the grace to move into deeper realms of self-forgiveness, because as we forgive ourselves, we're able to forgive those around us, and vice versa. It is one organism. It is one life that is expressing itself throughout the universe or universes, and once we really start to tap into that power and that awareness and that understanding, we step into a place where compassion becomes a lot more viable as a part of our path. So go into your own space, go into your own place where you can experience silence, and really look deeply into the idea of forgiving people that you have had interactions with from the past, and recognizing that you are not a victim of those people, that this is all this grand dance that has been scripted by you at a place that you have forgotten that you even existed in. And within that, you were able to realize that there are no accidental meetings. There are no individuals in your life that are not supposed to be there. There were no experiences that you were not supposed to have. And as you settle into that kind of a understanding and acceptance of that kind of an idea, you will be able to release enmity and frustration and pain and grief and sorrow from past interaction with people that you have been you know, at odds with, and you'll also heal parts of yourself that you have been at odds with. So this is a prime opportunity to experience things on a multitude of different levels that can be healing in a systemic way for you and for those around you. Additionally, we have a real nice passage of Venus moving through Cancer right now, and Venus is a very, very much at ease or in a space of comfort around the idea of the Cancerian energy. It's very creative. Venus normally rules Taurus, but Taurus is in a nice angle of receptivity to Cancer. So Venus feels very comfortable in Cancer, and this can rule a lot of different parts of your life, but very specifically, Cancer represents the home, and Venus is the planet of graciousness, beauty, harmony. So this is a time to really look at your nest and consider, you know, the environment that you live in from the perspective of, does this make me happy or do I need to make some changes here? Because as Venus moves through Cancer over the next 3 weeks, it is going to afford you some really great opportunities to make changes in your home or in your workplace, in environments where you spend a lot of time during the day that can actually really enhance your overall feelings of happiness and wellness. Additionally, we have Mars that is marching through Leo right now. So Mars in Leo time is an interesting combination. Mars is the masculine, aggressive energy, and Leo is a very masculine, fiery sign. So this is a good allegiance. Mars normally rules Aries, but once it moves into Leo, it's in trine to its natal sign. So this is a good time to rally the forces and get things accomplished. If you've got, you know, weeds in your garden that you've been ignoring for the last couple of years, this is a good time to get out there and get down on your hands and knees and do some work, because that energy, once you tap into it, really wants to be expressed in very physical, tangible ways. So overall, it looks like you know, the heavens are pretty much in harmony. We've got, additionally, we've got Jupiter at 17 degrees Libra, and that's moving into a nice sextile to Saturn in Sagittarius. So Jupiter is a planet of expansion. Saturn is the planet of restriction and drawing inward. So this is an interesting balance here that's coming up as these two planets interact. Jupiter wants to liberate every house that it walks through. It wants to expand, and sometimes that can be an almost reckless energy. But with this interaction with Saturn, it means there is opportunity here for you to learn new ways to deal with life and to deal with the people in your life. Saturn is the great teacher, and Sagittarius is the sign of spirituality and knowledge and wisdom. So Saturn is kind of being reinforced in its passage through Sagittarius, and now Jupiter is interacting with it. So some big aha moments can be on the horizon for all of us, actually, over the next 4 to 5 weeks. And as Jupiter continues to accelerate toward the end of Libra, it is going to bring that expansive energy into a lot of social constructs. So, you know, it's tied in quite heavily to this full moon we have today, because it's entrined to the moon in Aquarius. And so a lot of social justice, dialogue around social justice, is probably going to start becoming fruitful. And people are going to start taking action and looking around them and figuring out exactly what it is that they need to do in order to make life better for themselves as well as those around you. So this is a really exciting and dynamic time in the evolution of human consciousness. And all of the planetary aspects right now are working together in a new type of harmony. We've gone through about an eight-year period here of a lot of conflict in the heavens. We've had some massive squares and T-squares and interaction between Uranus and Pluto and Saturn and Jupiter and that have all been somewhat rather malefic, and it's been a very punishing time for the human experience. But now, with this full moon, and then with, like I said, the upcoming solar eclipse, this is kind of releasing a lot of that trapped energy. So get out there and share the love, pass the love around, have a lot of fun, and we'll be speaking to you in 1 week.